couldn't have been better. Wasn't one critical word. Just as warm, just as friendly as it could be. Said that he had tried to be helpful. The mistake that occurred here was this man didn't have control of his own unions. Half of them are paid by the business agents, get half of the local union, half here, so they don't work for anybody. They're neutral. There's nobody to advocate it. Said San Antonio, one union went 8-1 for us. The other union was 50-50 because the other union didn't have a leader and was neutral, and says that happened. Said the California man knocked it down the next morning before he'd ever even seen what they settled on. That he thought a mistake of judgment was made when they set the vote at Sunday. That they ought to have had time and they ought to have gone to work and everybody ought to have followed through. But that was water over the dam. He thought there had to be a settlement. That he thought that Kirkland and Reynolds could get a settlement. That he thought that they ought to get in the room with these 10 or 12 people. I told him what you'd said about them, being fair men and reasonable men. And they'd have to have a little give. And I said, well, I can't endorse any give. But they certainly ought to go any more than Reuther went. It ought to be in the Reuther neighborhood. People didn't knock things out of the ballpark there, and you ought to caution them not to do more than that. I said, now, he said, I think that Reynolds is an awfully good man, and I believe he can talk him into it. And said, by the way, I think that Reynolds has done a good job for you. And I said, well, why in hell don't you let Bill Wirtz make him your undersecretary? Why do you make Bill Wirtz do all the work for he and the other man too? And he said, well, what do you have in mind? I said, I'd like to put him on the National Labor Relations Board. Well, he said, that might work out. I said, I'd like to put him on the Equal Employment Opportunities Committee. And if you'll do this, we'll make Jim Reynolds undersecretary and give Bill Wirtz a little assistance there. And then we'll go out and pick a young man, 35, 40 years old, that's progressive, that will be fair and friendly to labor. And can give them much needed manpower over there, because I said, Wirtz works day and night, Reynolds does the same, but your man, well, he said, I'll just go talk to him. I think that's a fair proposition. I'll see what I can work out on it. I said, all right. Now, will you get on these folks tonight? If you don't, I'm going to have to say something in due time. I'm just staying long as I can. I said, have you ever had a president that's been more tolerant and more considerate of labor? He said, no, he hadn't. I said, well, why did these labor men kick me? Well, he said, none of them kicking you. I said, well, today they cussed me out at the publisher's meeting, said I was your stooge and I just wanted to please you and I wanted to be popular with you and so on and so forth, but it doesn't look to me like it does me any good. You don't get any action. Well, he said, we've got all the men in here. And said, I just can't run over C. Miller, tell C. Miller what he's got to do. He'll highly resent it. I've got to work under our associates. I said, well, I think it may be C. Miller's objecting to the White House thing. No, he said, nobody objects to the White House thing. People feel that they want to help the president, but said, our problem here is y'all didn't follow through and go out to these business agents, and they have no obligation to anybody. They had one vote down in their system, and said, I'll tell you one thing, you better not go to looking for Kirkland. Said, I'm not going to let you have him. I said, I don't know Kirkland. I may have met him, but I don't know him. Well, I said, you're not going to take him away from me. I said, I don't want to take him away from you. I just want to promote Reynolds and put this other fellow. He'd make an awful good war labor man. I mean, a National Labor Relations labor man, and he has a good record. So he said he'd look into it. Now, that is about word for word the conversation. I just want you to keep it. Don't repeat it. I don't want to think I'm tattling. Just he and I in the room.
No, never.
But I just, as soon as he walked out of the room, I thought I'd call you and tell you what's happened. Now, he's going to try. I said, will you call me back and tell me what you do? He said, I did the other one. He said, I went over there and I set this thing up and said, you told me that we had a little leverage there and we got 4-3 and said it ought to have gone, and said it would have gone except they had one vote. They had no leadership and they didn't follow through, and said you voted too soon. Now, that is the way he criticized. I said, well, he said Staggers refused to hear him, that he's going to have a press conference tomorrow. He's going to have to blast everything. And I said, that's fine. But now when you go to blasting the president, I hope you just say this, that the president said every time he's been asked to through the Secretary of Labor, and he said late, as late as yesterday himself at a press conference, that we do not recommend legislation, period. Now, that's this administration's position. But, George, you're just going to get it just sure as God made little apples. They tell me 21 to 31 are ready to vote right now. So I'd do something tonight. So that's, he said he'd go try to do it. He just left him. I don't know how he's going to do it. You better get a hold of Reynolds. You better tell Reynolds to check in with Kirkland. Tell him that he understands that the president talked to Meany and said that they wanted them to get with these folks some way or other and see what's done and kind of direct it, follow it through.
Did he say anything about whether he had talked to these 10 or not?
No, I gather that he hadn't.
Yeah.
I told him what you had said about him and bragged on him, and he was pleased to hear that, although he didn't comment. I think if he had talked to him, he didn't say he didn't, but I think if he had, he'd have said, well, Mr. President, that is my reaction to him.
Yeah.
That's the way I felt.
No, he hasn't talked to him.
But I said, Wirtz is a pretty good judge. He's working overtime. He's trying to do something about this and still be loyal to you and to me and to the administration. And he says this is a good bunch of men. Well, he said they ought to have been called in here before. I said, well, I asked you to call. He said, as soon as you asked me, I called them in. He said, I couldn't call them in myself. You don't understand. He said, I had to get Kirkland to go over to Seemiller and work on that. He said, I told him to do it, but said, I just can't do these things myself. Said the Wirtz down here in Miami one time wanted me to sign some statement with him on the longshoremen, on sugar or something. And said, I said, now, Bill, I'd like to. And what you say is all right. But if I sign it, I destroy myself with him. And said, I can't destroy myself with Seemiller. And said, Bill said, well, that's all right. You go ahead and do it what you want to. So I called him in and got George Harrison to make a motion. Said, we skinned the cat another way. And I said, when you asked me to see Seemiller, I told you I'd do it. But said, I've got to skin the cat a different way. So that's about the...
So he'll be talking to Kirkland right away.
He said he would, and I told him I'd call you until you get old Reynolds. And now what I tell you, what I would try to do, he's got the Ruther thing in mind, and I think that kind of makes him think that if he could get as much for out of this... contract. He says they've got to have more. They can't go back without voting it down. They voted down again. But if the cost of living doesn't come to 68 and we get a war over, it'll be the other way instead of going up. And it may be that, I don't know how Gardner costs the thing, but I don't know what that 0.2% would mean to him, whether that's enough or not. But I think he'll tell them that this is all Walter Ruther could get with 500,000 men, and you can't get much better with 30,000. And let me ask Joe Califano. Joe, have they ever cost it out going home?
What was 0.2%? What was 0.1% the other day? They said it means $3 million, did they? What did they even say?
I can give you that.
Well, it's 1% is a million.
Well, no, let's see, 1% is 3 cents, and each cent is $730,000. So each percent is 2 million.
Each percent is 2 million, so that's 4 million more.
Each
point is 2 million.
No, I'm talking about a whole percent. You're talking about points. This gives us only, this doesn't give us very much. But it, let's see, the other 2 points would be, they'd come to something under $1 million.
Hmm. And cost of living, well, is that cost of living, does that make it attractive to them at all?
Yeah, this you won't get it for this, but...
Well, if we...
We'll find some...
What else can we give them we don't have to cost?
I've got another meeting lined up tonight with Curtin and two of the two savvy people on the industry side. We're going to find out. And I'll get, we'll move that aside or put it later or something, and I'll get Jim in touch with Kirkland.
I'm afraid if he doesn't, George will go on home and wait till the morning to call him. But I told him that I was going to tell you, and so you get Reynolds lined up. So you just tell Reynolds to call Kirkland and say the president told the secretary that he'd just finished talking to Mr. Meany and that he had asked Mr. Meany to get Kirkland and Reynolds together, and I'm ready. And Mr. Meany said he would get Reynolds and Kirkland, and they'd see Miller and his 10 men, and they would consider some possibilities, and then tell Reynolds to stay as close to the Ruther contract, 4.5, as he can.
Okay, that was a beautiful job you did this noon.
Oh, yep. I don't know. That son of a bitch was really mean with me, wasn't he?
That's right. That's right. Well, it just made it that much.
But when I told him about Kennedy and compared him to Ted Dealey, it really galled him because he came back here. I thought I screwed him three ways. One, when he said he's unfair, and I said, no, uninformed. No man likes to be uninformed in front of all of his people. He'd rather be unfair. And the second thing, when I made him vote on it right there in front of him and vote him down, show him he's the minority there. And then that little New York Times fellow tried to hide his hands. You see it?
Yep.
And I said, get your hand up here where we can see you. And then finally, when I said it reminded me of Ted Dealey. Ted Dealey is the most vicious man in the country, Dallas. He caused the assassination. And I said he told President Kennedy to exercise some leadership, get off Carolyn's tricycle. And it's awful easy if these damn publishers sit around that couldn't settle anything. I thought I needled him a little bit, too, saying I was seriously considering getting the publishers to come down to New York and tell me how to handle the strike.
Say, you should know that this kid Curtin, or this fellow Curtin, did a big thing today when they asked him whether he'd been called, that his presence had been called by Charlie Murphy of the CAB. He answered, I talked with him some about it. I hadn't asked him what to answer, but I told him he was going to get that question. I just reminded him that when I'd come to it, what I'd said was that when they put it to me, I said I didn't know about that. I didn't know that we'd been trying throughout this case to take account of all the stabilization and the public considerations. And he answered the same way. He could just have hung us by our toes this afternoon, and he did not do it. Or this morning. You know what I mean? The fellow for the publishers, for the carriers. All right, well, I'll get at it, and we'll see what we can do.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.